Chapter 9. Giles was awakened by the flashing buzz of his cell phone early the next morning. The sun had not yet risen, and the light of the little screen washed the bedroom in cool hues of green and blue. Annalise stirred, grumbled a mash of gibberish, and rolled away from the disturbance. She yanked a pillow over her head and began to prod at Giles with her foot. He rolled toward the commotion, squinting against punishing light that would have been tame under normal circumstances. All around him were black shapes and angles, a blue-green glow playing off surfaces for brief moments before winking out, leaving him in darkness. He pawed at the phone, eventually found it, and swatted at the screen until he saw the blurred smudge of a green icon. He lifted it to his ear and whispered, "Yeah.
Giles, this is Kevin Roth. Are you moving around yet?"
He blinked several times, trying to get his eyes working, and looked out the window. There was an orange line somewhere far away, parting earth from sky like a razor. The line was interrupted at vast intervals by pillaring voids outside his room, looking in at him with their own windows, which began to illuminate fitfully.
"What time is it?" he whispered.
"Nearly a quarter past four. Change of plans, Giles. We need you to come into corporate first thing. Listen. Have you told anyone about what you're doing here?"
He glanced over his shoulder at Anna's form curled under a mountain of blankets and pillows and said,
"No, hang on a minute. Let me get to the other room."
He let himself out as quietly as possible, hustled through the sitting room, turned on the desk lamp, and asked,
"Okay, Kevin, what's going on here? Why would you ask me that?"
"Go to the Times site and look at the headline. I'll wait."
Kevin's voice had lost its characteristic gentleness. Hearing this new, unfamiliar tone, Giles felt his stomach begin to knot into a sick ball. He opened his laptop and did as instructed. When the browser completed loading the new site's homepage, all of the air leaked from his body as if his lungs had died within their cage.
"Oh, fuck," Giles whimpered.
"I couldn't have said it better myself. I'll ask you again. Have you spoken to anyone about this? Anyone at all?"
"No," Giles repeated. "I've been very careful."
He heard Kevin sigh through the speaker.
"Okay, good enough then. If that's true, you should be okay. Get cleaned up and ready for the Inquisition, buddy. There'll be a lot of questions today. I'd suggest a shave. Also, make sure to bring your laptop and your phone. They'll want to have IT review them."
Excuse me, you want my laptop and phone?"
"I think not. I don't believe I'll be handing those over. It's not even a company phone. Read that NDA again, Giles."
"What?"
"Or maybe you should have just read it closer. You can hand them over now, or we can go through a bunch of legal proceedings, and then you can hand them over when our lawyers point out the line where you signed your name."
"This is a company laptop, Kevin. I can't just hand it up."
"Call Reggie, too, while you're at it. Get it all cleared up. But be quick about it, and then remember to bring your laptop and phone when you come in. 7 o'clock, Giles. Sharp."
The line died. He took a few deep breaths to calm himself. He felt his heart hammering away. Could hear it behind his ears. He leaned forward over the laptop, cradling his head in his hands, and then glanced up to read the headline again. "Anagnorisis Technologies creates first strong AI."
"Oh, God help me," he muttered and scrolled down the page.
He did not have to search very long before he found his name plastered all over the story. His phone buzzed again as his eyes moved over the words, processing the meaning of each while failing to integrate any of the information they conveyed. He answered the call without looking.
"Hello?"
"Giles, what the fuck?"
"Hey, Reggie."
"Seriously, Giles, what the fuck? First off, do you have any idea what time it is over here?"
"Well, we are ahead of you," Giles said. "I'd imagine it's pretty late, or early, I suppose."
"Why is my phone exploding? What the hell happened?"
Giles closed his eyes and leaned back in the chair.
"Honestly, I don't know. This is as much a shock to me as everyone else."
"You have no idea where this came from?"
"None."
"Did anyone back at the shop know about this?"
"Not to this level of detail," Reggie said.
"Christ, Giles, I didn't even know to this level of detail."
"Well, I know it wasn't you, and it sure wasn't me. I'm at a loss, Reggie. I don't know what to say."
They sighed in unison. After a few moments of silence, Reggie asked,
"You let anyone use your laptop?"
"No."
"Well, have you noticed any strange behavior from your laptop? Maybe someone,
you know...
Wincing, Giles said, "You're insinuating I've been hacked. Is that some sort of joke?"
"Well, I don't fucking know, Giles. What do you want from me? A leak of this magnitude and nobody has any ideas?"
"Okay, okay, calm down.
And we sure as shit don't need the additional publicity."
The sourness in Giles's guts turned on itself, became hot and sullen.
"You think I caused any of this on purpose? Is that what you're saying? Who is it that's been receiving the threatening phone calls, Reggie? Is that you? How many of them have you had to answer? How many has your wife answered?"
No response came. He heard only breathing. "Fine, Reggie. I'll take that to mean you've come to your senses. Now what about this business regarding my laptop? Did you really sign a document allowing Anagnorisis to seize it?"
"We both did, Giles. I saw and approved the form they sent to you. We couldn't secure the contract without it. It's fine from our company's standpoint. In the event that it happens, and I guess it is now, goddammit, they're required to provide us with full logs and backups of everything they pull. A bunch of their shit gets jumbled together with a bunch of our shit and thrown into escrow, and then if it turns out later that either company does something untoward with the data, we can sue each other right the hell into oblivion. Just hand it over. We have one of our lawyers on a red eye heading out your way right now. He has to be present to observe when they go to work on your system. They probably don't get cracking on it until this afternoon at least, so I wouldn't count on getting anything back until tomorrow at the earliest."
Giles shrugged helplessly into the empty room.
"Yeah. Yeah, okay, I'll hand it all over. You have Anna's number?"
"I do."
"Good. Ring her and leave a message if you need to get a hold of me."
"Okay, Giles, will do. Hey."
"Yeah."
"You really don't know."
"Goodbye, Reggie."
"Fuck. Just cooperate with them, man.
I have no intention of doing otherwise."
Giles hung up and tossed his phone onto the desk. He sat silently for a while, staring at the screen of his laptop. All the while, the city came alive behind him like a slow heating oven, light of the yellow sun glinting off windows, concrete, and stone. The bedroom door cracked open, and Annalise poked her head through.
"Giles? Honey, what's wrong? I heard you out here."
He watched her carefully for a time, the worry in his eyes and brow carving channels like a migrating glacier, and finally said,
"Anna, please, please don't take this wrong. I have to ask you this. Have you spoken with anyone about my work? Here, with Anagnorisis? With Cronus?"
"What? No, not at all."
"Anyone at all? Spoken to a friend on the phone? Maybe filled in Dean Hopkins on what's going on here, even obliquely?"
She shook her head, eyes wide like a frightened child, and he hated himself for suspecting her still.
"What's happening, Giles?"
He stood from the chair and gestured at the laptop.
"Come over and see."